back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Don't forget, on Wednesday, we'll be on KCAL Channel 9 with Arsenio Hall all night. Adam Carolla is going to be stopping by. Also, Tom Likas will be with us. So stay tuned Wednesday night on TV and on KLSX. KLSX all night, 8 to 11, normal show. And then TV, 8:35, 9:35, and 10:35, or just thereabouts. And it should be a great evening. So set your VCRs if you still have a VCR. All right, Bill Whittle is with us. Eject.com. Silent America is the book he has written. And he also works for Pajamas TV, knows a lot about politics, and wanted to talk about something we covered in the last part of the hour.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk briefly about what you went out on, because I thought it was really, really good. Not just interesting, but just good for the country and good for the city and good for everything else. I'll just preface this real quick by saying I'm obviously a big old conservative. You know, I'm a big McCain supporter. And one of the callers asked earlier, he said, well, what's this about Republican mayors? And it's like, look, buddy, that's just a data point. I mean, I didn't invent the statistic. I saw it. It's telling me something, and that leads me to believe what I believe. But
right, and the point was, if you have the mayor, the city council, and supervisors run a city for too long, it turns to crap.
Right. So the one thing that you said about Obama, about putting a picture of the current president up and having him be your president, I obviously really want John McCain to win, and I'm going to do everything I can to see that he wins by voting for him and so on. But if Barack Obama becomes president of the United States, there's a couple of things that we just need to say. First of all, it's an amazing achievement. It's a wonderful thing for the country, at the very, very least.
Oh, yeah, it's
a wonderful thing for the country. And even though I have many, many reasons for not wanting to see Barack Obama president. If Barack Obama is elected president, he will be my president. I'm an American citizen. He's president of the United States. I don't get to say he's not my president. He is my president.
Right.
If there's a crisis of any kind, if there's a national emergency, he'll have my undying support.
You betcha.
Absolutely. I'll fight him on things that I don't agree with. That's what makes America America. But he is the president. He will be the president of the United States, and I will be a supporter of his. In times of crisis, I will keep my mouth shut. And other times I'll disagree with him, but you're absolutely right. We need to get back to this sense that, you know what, politics is a blood sport, but when it's all said and done, we sit next to each other at Dodger Stadium and we root for the Dodgers or whatever we do. And this Bush-Hitler thing has got to stop. It's just too much. It's the country wants it to stop.
Exactly. All right, let's talk to Daniel in Pacoima. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hey, how's it going, Tom?
All right, what's up?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yes,
I have a question about people always criticize Obama on his experience. And I was wondering about McCain's experience, because I'm not really too sure about what he's done since he's been in the Senate.
John McCain?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's ask Bill Whittle here. I imagine you got 3 hours there, Daniel?
You know what's interesting about that question is, and this really throws a lot of people for a loop, but the way that our country is set up, we have federal power, we have state power, and local power, right? And of the four candidates on the ticket, the four people, Palin, McCain, Obama, and Biden, the only one who has any experience doing what the president does is Sarah Palin. Because when you're governor of a state, you are basically a chief executive of a government agency.
Yeah, you make decisions
all day. Essentially, you do exactly what the president does. You run that government. Senators don't do that. Senators don't balance budgets. Senators don't deal with any of the same kind of things. Senators talk,
right,
and they write bills, but they're not directly accountable in the same way that a governor is. So it's actually interesting. I really genuinely, in my heart, believe that Sarah Palin's got more experience than the other three guys combined in terms of what the actual president does.
Right.
But
now what about McCain in Senate, though? I mean, what has he introduced and what has actually been established
or
gone to law?
This is really interesting. It's funny how the message can be turned around. If you look at John McCain's been a senator, I think, for 25 years, 26 years now, I think. John McCain, prior to the selection of Sarah Palin, was widely despised on one hand and distrusted by conservatives, by the more conservative members of the Republican Party, precisely
right,
because John McCain's entire history in the Senate has been a history of dealing with Democrats, working with them. Feingold's a Democrat. McCain-Lieberman, that's a bill. McCain-Kennedy is a bill. John McCain has reached across the aisle and worked with Democrats. That's basically what he does, and that is why so many conservatives really don't trust the guy. On the other hand, Barack Obama has the most liberal voting record in the Senate, and Joe Biden is third. So,
of all the senators?
Of the entire Senate, of the entire 100 senators, Barack Obama has the most liberal voting record. Now, that's not to say bad or good, okay? I mean, you're a liberal, conservative, whatever. But you certainly have – there's no question, none whatsoever, that John McCain's history of dealing with the other party is long and storied, and Barack Obama has essentially done none of this.
And now, Daniel, you know about McCain's POW, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, does that answer your question for you?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Well, there you go. Thanks
well,
for
people,
calling.
Let me just say one thing about the POW thing, too, because I've heard many times that people say that, being...
I'd be the worst POW ever.
You bet. Me too, pal.
Jesus Christ.
I just had a kidney stone, and I'm going to name my first kid Dilaudid, because that is a hell of a drug, and when that thing hits you, baby, it's a great feeling. But
Dilaudid is the
best.
Oh.
Yeah, I could vote for Obama on Dilaudid without any troubles whatsoever.
But you
could
also understand why people get addicted to it.
You betcha. But the thing I want to say about the POW thing is that many people think that, he's due to be president, or we owe him to be president, or he's earned the right. I don't think anybody – I certainly don't believe that. What the POW experience about John McCain tells me is this. As I said, I just had a kidney stone, which was a pretty rough 5 hours.
Right.
And I've had a molar crack that went into my jaw, and it was a toothache I felt down in my hips. So I've had,
Jesus
like a typical
Christ.
American, essentially no pain in my life. I'm very grateful. But I've probably had 6-7 hours of like kind of pain that puts you on the ground. Right. And when you're in that kind of pain, you'll do anything to get out of that pain.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, do anything. And the thing about John McCain that impressed me so much was, here's a man who's injured, broke his arms ejecting from his airplane. They take him down there. They beat him severely. So every time there's a footsteps in the hallway, it's not a nurse bringing you pain medication. It's more pain.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to say that I would have stayed and not left early because he was the son of an admiral. They offered him early release. And he said, no, I'm going to go in the order we came in. That's the rule. It's easy to say, yeah, I would have done that too.
I wouldn't have done that.
But, dude, you really need to be in that kind of, dentist finds a nerve kind of pain.
I know.
So that to me, goes to character, and that's what impresses me about John McCain.
All right, let's talk to us, Sebastian, here in Newport Beach. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hi, Tim and Bill. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey.
Just like somebody who commits the same bad behavior over and over again, and it becomes more and more reasonable and likely that they'll never change that behavior.
Right.
Just as reasonable and likely that, in general, the American government and people will go more and more into debt and real wages lower and lower, as they have with every administration since the Nixon administration. I think you're both kind of both naive, and if you think things will really, in general, improve economically in our country anywhere
well,
close to
yeah, no, no, no. Yeah, but listen, there's a difference between thinking they will and hoping they will.
Well, what's reasonable? I mean,
I hope they will. I just don't think they will.
Well, I think I hope the Saints win the Super Bowl, but they're not.
Yeah, well, they're still in it. but what are you saying? That you shouldn't even have hope?
I'm saying that for an individual, I mean, in general, I don't expect it to change at all. But but individually, you could work hard and do better than people who aren't making those changes, who aren't working as hard, as you know. But
right, so who are you supporting?
I support McCain only because I think he is the better of the two choices. Like you said, Palin's governor. I mean, your guest has the best thoughts on that. Of course, Bush was a governor, too, and look what happened. I know it's a Democratic Congress and all, but still, I like her, but I think he could have done better, for goodness sakes. Find a governor out there.
I actually agree with you. I think he could have made a better choice for VP.
Like who?
Well, see, that's the problem. Like who? And
if you pick Mitt Romney, you lose the evangelicals. If you pick Huckabee, you lose the secular conservatives.
Right. But in a country of 330 million people, she's the best choice? I mean, there isn't anybody in the private industry or anybody that could have been a better choice?
What Sarah Palin does, and this goes to a really, really fundamental issue about the kind of country we live in and the kind of government we have. The thing that people who like Sarah Palin like about her is her ordinariness. Okay, Obama is the one. The beautiful thing about Sarah Palin is we know 100,000 Sarah Palins.
I like her. The voice is getting irritating.
Okay, fair enough. But the question is this. Can a normal person with reasonable degree of confidence, can that person be president of the United States? I mean, she wasn't plucked off the street. She had an 86% approval rating as a governor in this country.
Right.
So the reason people don't like her is because she talks like a regular person. She acts like a regular person because she is a regular person.
Right.
And that bothers some people. And my question to the listeners is, if that really does bother you, ask yourself seriously. I'm not trying to tell you what to think. Just ask yourself, has the country evolved now to the point where a competent, regular person can be president? Because if you're saying that they can't, if you're saying that that a regular person who does their job well and has an 86% approval rating but didn't go to, you know, didn't get the PhD from Harvard, if you're saying that that person cannot be president, then we need to adjust the Constitution to reflect that.
Right.
We no longer need to say natural resident, 35 years old. Now we have to add plus a PhD from Harvard.
Right.
I don't believe that's true.
Yeah, I don't believe that's true either, but I'm just saying, you know, there are so many people in the United States of America who I think are more qualified than all four of these people. You know, people who have run large businesses, because essentially the United States is a business.
That's right. Herb, I think it was Calvin Coolidge said the business of America is business.
Oh, he did?
I think it was Coolidge.
Randy, who did you hear say that first, me or Coolidge?
Tim Conway Jr.
Thank you very much. But yeah, so if it is a big business, why not have guys in the White House who have run successful big businesses?
I completely agree. One of the things that the Democrats traditionally do as a strategy, and I've seen it in several election cycles, is they run against the rich. Okay, they run against, they're doing it now. You know, McCain has seven houses and the rich, the fat cats on Wall Street and all this
right.
other stuff. And that resonates with people because you see guys with $300 billion and you think, you know, well, $300 million anyway, you think, whoa, you know.
Right. But, I mean, isn't Bill Gates a better choice for vice president or president than McCain or Palin or Obama?
It's a great question, Tim, but you know, the country is not a company. It's not structured the same way. A CEO, a chief executive officer of a company, has absolute dictatorial powers over that company, and he can be removed by the board, but until that point, he can do whatever he damn well wants to.
Right.
The president of the United States does not have anything like that power.
Right.
Nothing like that kind of power. So he has to be a politician. He has to have a certain amount of charm and a certain amount of ability to influence people to get a coalition of people together and come to a consensus and get people to do what he wants to do.
I understand that, but in your, you know, when you're falling asleep at night and you're thinking about politics, don't you ever think to yourself, I think it'd be easier for Bill Gates to be thrown in the White House and run the United States. It's easier for me to appreciate how that could happen than Obama or McCain becoming the CEO of Microsoft and making that a more successful company.
That's a great argument. But, you know, this goes to something else, too, and it's something I think people are going to find out if Obama's elected. And that is that we tend to have a very unrealistic view of the president and what the president does. We tend to think of him as a magical sort of a godhead figure, and that the president, you know, President Bush determines the economy and President Bush determines the weather.
Yes.
And President Bush determines what wars happen and President Bush determines when we're attacked and when we're not. And he just sits there on his throne and makes these decisions. But the president of the United States is not a magical figure. The president of the United States is just a person like everybody else, and they have a job to do. The president does not dictate economic policy. The president doesn't wake up every morning and determine what the interest rate is going to be. The president
should.
Well,
we should get a dictator in there.
We should get a czar, and we've seen how well that works on the other side.
Let's talk to Edgar in Lawndale. You're on 97.1 FM Talk.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, what's happening, dude?
Nothing much. Just right here. I just want to say,
smoking a little weed, dude?
What happened?
Smoking a little weed?
How did you know my question?
All right, what do you got?
First of all, I just want to say thanks for the tickets.
Oh, you got the tickets. What'd you win?
Knott's.
Good for you. We'll see you down there.
Yeah, and second of all, what does John and Obama have to say about legalizing medical marijuana?
All right, great question. What do you think? How do you think the two sides shake down here?
I got to tell you, it seems like I've never had an opportunity for a joke teed up so well before, but the fact of the matter is I just don't have a clue.
Okay. I'll bet McCain is against it, and I'll bet there'll be pot being smoked in the White House.
I want to take the crackpot question.
All right, but first, here when we talk about legalizing marijuana, and that's a big issue for people out here. A lot of people would like to see the marijuana legalized. What is your opinion of it? I think it could wipe out a lot of our debt in the state of California if it happened.
If we grow marijuana and we sell it
in the state of California. Doesn't that seem to make sense? That if we tax something like that, that we could wipe out the $15 billion deficit?
Listen, I'm in show business. Everybody I know in the universe smokes marijuana regularly, right?
Right.
So I've obviously seen many people who smoke a lot of pot and their lives are just fine.
I'm convinced that 80% of this audience smokes pot.
I wouldn't be surprised. It makes it easier. Makes the show go by a lot easier.
I got to jump on board with this 80%.
I'll tell you what.
I'm doing here sober.
But with that said, I also know a lot of people who've had their lives pretty much just sort of stopped, you know, not ruined like under a bridge, but just kind of stopped. And
don't you think those lives would have stopped on something else
man. I don't know. But what I do know is this. I don't think it's the business of the government to be in the position of supplying tranquilizers or narcotics for the people.
Well, they do with alcohol. I mean,
the government does. There are no government. You don't buy alcohol from the government. You don't go down and buy.
At least they said it's legal.
Well, okay. That's a different issue.
Yeah.
Right? Legalizing is a different issue.
Yeah, well, I'm not talking about the state growing marijuana.
Oh, I thought you were.
I'm talking about the state taxing it.
You know, you can make a great argument about doing it.
You know?
I mean, you really can.
Because I'm absolutely convinced that if you made pot legal tomorrow, that people like myself who, you know, smoke pot maybe once or twice a year would not go down to 7-Eleven and buy myself a pack of smokes.
You know, what this comes down to is, Tim, is it comes down to the sort of the unseen effect of the law. In other words, laws are like force fields that go out into society, and you can't really determine exactly what they are. I'll give you an example. Let's say you have a situation where you don't have any traffic signs posted, right? And people go zipping down the street.
Right.
And they go as fast as they damn well want to. Well, you put a sign up that says 35 miles an hour, and they keep going as fast as they want to until you start putting some police cars out there and writing tickets, and then people start to slow down, right? So we don't know how much more marijuana use there would be if marijuana was as legal as smoking a cigarette, but it could be that everybody be getting high all the time, and you can certainly make a case for it. I don't have the answer to this. Yeah. We're getting a lot of applause.
Randy loves that weed, man.
I don't have the answer. It's not really for me to say. I tend to be one of those people who say you should be able to do whatever you really want to unless you're hurting somebody else.
Yeah, I say everyone smoke more weed, and this country would be a much happier place. All right, let's talk to Joey and Covina. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
How's it going, Timmy?
Hey, good. What's up, dude?
Hey, I really like your guest, man. I like
Thank
those guys
much.
with a calm, soothing voice that is very condescending. And you know what? What is this stuff, you know, about Obama? You know, why is he so down on him?
On Obama?
Yeah.
Right,
McCain's a crackpot. And Palin, she's off the hook.
All right.
What do you mean she's off the hook? What do you mean specifically off the hook?
Specifically, just her skewed views on things.
What skewed views?
What excuse you? Oh, I can see Russia from my backyard.
Well, she can't see Russia from her backyard.
No, she can't.
You know where Alaska is? You know how far it is from Russia?
Yeah, I do.
How far is Alaska from Russia?
What? 800 miles, 1,000 miles?
No, Russia's a couple miles away.
Yeah, at some point, it's miles away.
All you have to do to cure yourself of these skewed views things, buddy, is just to get on the internet and look for an atlas of the world and look how far the Bering Strait extends out towards Russia. Russia is closer to the United States than Cuba is. Russia is closer to the United States than any other country that doesn't contact the U.S. like Mexico or Canada.
Right, Joey, what else does Palin do that drives you crazy?
No. Let's talk about McCain.
Sure.
Let's talk about McCain.
Okay.
You know what? I love guys who always dodge up, you know, except my wife get an accident, and, you know, I'm going to cheat on her. I like that. I like a character like that. That's what I want a president for.
Wait a minute.
Character like that.
Wait a minute. Your wife got in an accident, you cheated on her?
No. His wife, his first wife. Okay,
he's already
ponied up and got himself a new one. Okay, right? I don't want character like that in the White House.
Let me ask you.
The Kennedys do that crap.
Yeah, well, the Kennedys do that crap.
Are you kidding me, man? Did you just cite the Kennedys as an example of marital fidelity and moral behavior?
Joey,
my
you're an
God,
idiot.
Man.
No, those guys really suck.
Yeah. Hey, Joey. What do you think about McCain hanging out with domestic terrorists?
Oh, my gosh. I'm laying on my grass in my front yard now. Okay.
Well, let me ask you a question, Joey. Let me ask you a couple questions about Barack Obama here. Because these are the things that bother me, and if you can convince me that they shouldn't, then I'll change my mind. First of all, let's talk briefly about Reverend Wright. He was in that church for 20 years.
Wait, Joey, do you know who Reverend Wright is?
Yes, I do. Okay. I've heard all this stuff on your show.
Well, let me just ask you some questions because I'm serious about this. I'm a reasonable guy, man. I really am. And if you can convince me I'm wrong, I'll change my mind. So we know that Barack Obama was in that church for 20 years. We know Reverend Wright introduced him to his wife, married him to his wife, and baptized his kids.
Mm-hmm.
So the first question I have for you is...
They're still married.
That's right. And I'm glad they are. He's got a terrific family life, and it's something to be proud of. Now, my question to you, first of all, is, do you think that Reverend Wright is a racist?
You know what? Reverend Wright, he's pretty much sick in the head.
Okay. I agree. I think he's
sick in the head.
I agree. Now, do you think that it's possible for Barack Obama to have been in church for 20 years, not every day, but 20 years, that's 1,000 Sundays, man. That's a lot of Sundays. Do you think it's possible that Barack Obama could have been in that church for 20 years without knowing what Reverend Wright is?
You know what? I think at first he was enamored by this guy, and then he actually seen what this guy...
He didn't see it until he ran for office, though. You know what, Joey? You answered the first two questions correctly, so we're sending you a John McCain sign to put in your front yard.
Well, you know, you can keep it.
All right, we're going to send you something anyway,
but
dude.
Listen, Timmy, one question for
you.
Yes,
sir.
You know what? Been telling me, when's your father coming on the show?
Oh, we're going to try to get him on, Babu. Hey, listen,
yes.
Speaking of comedy, hold on one sec. We're going to send you a pair. You know who Brian Regan is?
Oh, yeah, he's a funny dude.
Yeah, you're going to go to a concert in Long Beach. Where do you live, Covina? That's pretty close.
Yeah, okay.
All right, hold on one second. Going to a Long Beach Terrace Theater this Sunday. Oh, it's this Sunday. You got to get a move on here. Tickets are at Ticketmaster.com. That Brian Regan is one of the funniest men in all of show business. Right, let's take a bunch of calls here and whip through these. How about Stuart and Rancho Cucamonga? You're on 97.1 FM Talk with Bill Whittle.
Hey, Timmy.
Here. Hey, how are you, dude?
Hey, I wanted to ask your guest what his thoughts were on Obama's pro-amnesty form.
Oh, all right. Thank you for calling. Pro-amnesty, what do you think?
I'm not really that familiar with it. His in terms of illegal immigrant amnesty?
Yeah. Well, he's against the fence, right? He's against the wall?
Yeah, and obviously that's the area that most conservatives find McCain weakest because he's pretty much in favor of an amnesty plan, and
right.
He said he wasn't, now he says he is again, and so on. I just... want to be crystal clear, I can't really speak for the Obama campaign. It seems to me that McCain is in favor of a slightly more restrictive immigration policy than Obama.
Okay.
And when I was arguing with in the primaries, when many conservatives were saying we need tougher immigration laws and McCain is against those, my argument was, well, okay, but it looks like Obama's just worse.
All right. Now, when it comes to Proposition 8 here in California, and Proposition 8 will make it illegal for gays to get married.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. Look at that. I don't see any reason to vote no on it and not allow the gays to get married, with the exception of one, that this scenario might happen, all right, that it's legal to get married in the state of California, which it is now, for gays. And gays go into, you know, St. Mel's Church out in Woodland Hills and say, hey, we might get married in the Catholic Church. And the Catholics say, no dice. It's not going to happen in here. And then the ACLU or the state of California sues St. Mel's in Woodland Hills. And Woodland Hills and St. Mel's and all the Catholic churches lose their tax-exempt status because they're not treating people fairly under the California Constitution. Is that possible?
I don't know. I'm not
That's
a lawyer.
That's the only argument against it.
I tend to agree with you 100%. This is an issue that just gives me tremendous, tremendous amount of difficulty. I'll start by saying that obviously I think everybody in this country has a right to live their life the way they want to and to love the people they want to. And I am inclined to be extremely sympathetic to gay marriage. And I'm inclined to just want to say, you know, do it. Just what's the problem?
Knock yourself out.
Yeah, what's the problem? But I have heard some arguments that actually do make a little bit of sense to me, and they cause me to have some second thoughts. And one of them is pretty much what you said, where what we're running into here is we're running into the definition of marriage as a legal marriage, right?
So if they called it something other than marriage, you'd be into it.
Let me finish here for a second, because you're right. It's illegal. It is a legal entity, marriage, but it is also a religious entity. It is also a religious ceremony and a religious union, and the people who are pushing very, very hard for gay marriage are just wiping that off the table like it doesn't exist. And people who have very strong religious beliefs have as much a right to vote as anybody else in this country. They have as much a right to their opinion as anybody else in their country. And they are saying that it is our religious belief that marriage is defined as the union of a man and a woman. And most people, not all of them, because there's some raging homophobes out there, but most people who are...
Randy, put your hand down.
Most people who are taking the sort of anti-gay marriage position are saying, we have no problem with all of the rights, all of the legal benefits, all of the other stuff, but the definition of the word marriage is a man and a woman. That's our understanding of it religiously and our culturally in our history. That's an interesting argument. And another argument is, if you say that you can have the word marriage applied to a homosexual relationship because this is the person I love, that goes deep into my heart. I'm very, very sympathetic to that. But the slippery slope argument then becomes, well, why can't I be married to two people that I love? Why can't we have polygamy then?
Let's go.
Why can't I be married to...
Imaginary two wives.
Love is like a big giant. I got almost like take a Valium when you watch that. But then the question becomes, well, if I deeply love two people and I can be married to those people, I know it starts to sound ridiculous, and I don't want to be a buffoon about this. But then people say, well, why can't you, if you deeply, deeply, deeply love your pet, why can't you marry your cat?
Fantastic. Hey, that's a great idea.
Look, I know it sounds absurd, and I'm not defending that position, but what I am saying is there is a point to be made there, that if you open up the definition outside of a man and a woman to include this is the person that I love of the same sex,
right,
then where does that definition stop? And how can you start depriving other people of that?
You know what they should do? And again, I don't get a lot of support on this, and I probably should, but people are too afraid to admit that they agree with me, mm-hmm. and I'm not afraid to say it on the air. But I think all marriages should be illegal.
Yes!
Heterosexual, homosexual, it doesn't matter. Marriage, as an idea, should be illegal.
Yeah, and I think probably a fair representation of the other point of view is to say that, look, yes, we could have all of the legal rights, we could have all of the societal benefits, all the health benefits, yes, all of that, but we want to call it marriage. I'm coming from the gay point of view now, I would think. We want to call it marriage because we don't want to be excluded from society. And that's a really moving and strong argument for me. And this is one of those things where my gut tells me to be in favor of gay marriage, but my head tells me there might be problems downstream. Mm. And it's like I flip a coin, it comes down on its edge. But I'm very sympathetic to this issue.
All right, let's take some more phone calls when we come back here. We have a very intelligent young man with us. He has written a book called Silent America. His name is Bill Whittle. And if you'd like to go to his website, ejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectejectej We are 1 month away. 4 weeks from tomorrow, you'll be voting. And it's going to be an historic event no matter what happens. It'll either be the first black president of the United States or the first vice president who's a woman. But either way, it'll be a historic event or an historic event. What do you authors use? An historic or ahistoric?
I would say it's a historic event.
Ahistoric.
You know how that "and" came about, by the way?
No.
It's from all the Cockneys dropping the H's. And it was, honest to God, it would be an historic event.
All right, let's. We'll take a ton of calls when we come back. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live with Bill Whittle as a guest. We're live on 97.1 FM Talk. Everybody, it is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk, and we have a guest with us who's been on before, Bill Whittle. Nice to see you, dude.
Good to be back.
And he's written Silent America. Go buy it. Eject.com. A little political talk here. Lots of people are talking about politics each and every day, and especially when it comes to this election, and more immediately when it comes to the economy. $700 billion will be taken from us, the taxpayers, and given to Wall Street and banks and investment firms. Where do you see that going? And is that a good deal that we've just signed off on? Or the president signed off on?
I wrote an essay on National Review called Pain, and I was talking about this kidney stone that I passed and some lessons that I learned from that, because I didn't have health insurance, and it was only because I hurt so bad that I renegotiated my deal at work to take less money and get the health insurance, right?
Good for you.
I wouldn't have done it if I hadn't been just on the floor.
Right. Right?
My feeling is that the people who caused this financial mess need to feel some pain, and that's what needs to happen so that it doesn't happen again. But the problem is, how do those people hurt financially without all of the rest of the country coming down with them? I mean, the fundamental problem with the bailout is you've got millions and millions and millions of people in this country who work very hard to make their mortgage payments. They know what kind of risk they're taking when they get into a house. They do things exactly the right way. They do two, three jobs. They make their mortgage payments. They play by the rules. And now they have to pay for the people who didn't.
Yes.
And when cheating is rewarded, Tim, you're a chump if you don't cheat. You're just a chump.
I understand.
And that is a darn. I just say darn. That's a
damn.
It's a damn bad
yes.
precedent. Now, with that said, you can't very well collapse the economy to make the point. It's like, you know, let's say grandma smokes in bed, right? And we don't want her to smoke in bed. We think it's a bad habit. Could be dangerous.
You buy her a water bed.
Well, yeah, okay. But, so what are we going to do to make the point? We're going to let her burn the bed down? We're going to let her burn the house down? We're going to let her burn the grandkids in the house down to make a point to grandma? Comes a point when you have to realize, okay, the main thing we have to do is stop the house from burning down, and then we'll make the point.
And that's what we've done.
Well, dude, I hope so, because I'll tell you, this is a terrible precedent, terrible. And this may just be the least bad thing that we could do.
Sam in Long Beach, you're on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hey, man. Yeah, I don't know, Tim, I don't mean to bust on you, but I hope you confessed to your guest there about when you were last week, because I listen to you all the time,
yes.
When you were editing Gina, not letting her bring up stuff when she was playing the stuff about Palin.
Exactly. Right.
Also, when you're playing the Russian national anthem every time they would talk about that. And when Whitman would bring up Carter, you start playing Hitler speeches. So
that's exactly right.
You know,
let me ask you if you think, and you know why I do that.
Okay.
Okay. Why do you think I do it?
I think you did it because it drove Whitman absolutely bananas.
That's partially true. Here's one of the reasons I do it. I'm going to ask you, and I don't mean to bust your balls. I don't know you. You don't me. And I'm just going to ask you a question and see if this is like common knowledge, okay?
Fair enough, but I'll do a Palinism. I'll tolerate this. Let's go.
Okay. All right. Name me a very successful left-wing Democrat, Democratic-oriented, but mostly left-wing radio talk show.
Name you a famous left-wing talk show host. Well, you know what? Not too much coming to mind. But you know what? I would sit down and
have a
good
local one.
I'll do you this better, though. You're right on that. But I would sit down and have a talk with your dad. Your dad was awesome.
Thank you, sir.
In the media for a million years.
Still is.
And he very smartly takes a step back.
That's exactly right.
Like, well, I know nothing.
Right, because he's not in radio.
Well, I understand. But you know what? He don't want to alienate people.
That's exactly right, dude. But listen to me. Can you name me a nationally syndicated or a local Republican who is successful in talk radio?
Well, a Republican who's popular, yeah, Limbaugh and everybody else. But, you know, Likas has been bagging on McCain and all the Republicans nonstop.
I understand that. But he's not a political talk show. I'm just telling you, when it comes to politics, the left-wing politics don't work on radio. It didn't matter what I believe, it doesn't work on radio.
I have opinion about that.
I understand, but getting your feelings hurt about all the Hitler refs to Bush, you know, you're the one who's actually playing Hitler speeches when they were talking, you know, with the other guys. So come on now.
That's not true, dude.
You were playing Hitler speeches when he was talking about Carter.
I hate to, you know, you are right. We would play, whenever Carter talked, we'd play the Hitler, actually, that was not Hitler. That was actually really Carter talking. This is a speech that Jimmy Carter gave in Atlanta at the Omni Center, I believe down in Atlanta, in 2007, May of 2007. Here's Jimmy Carter.
Meine deutsche Jugend, nach einem Jahr kann ich euch hier wieder begrüßen.
That's Jimmy Carter. Don't tell me that's
Ihr seid heute hier in diesem
The reason why we do this, one, is I think that Jimmy Carter was a terrible president, and I think he really aligned himself with the wrong groups in this country. And two, it's just to bust his balls, all right?
Yeah, and the fundamental difference is you're joking. And when people say Bush Hitler, half of those people, more than half, 90%
of them,
they're not joking.
Yeah. All right, let's take some more phone calls here. Bill Whittle is with us. Let's talk to Maria in Orange. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. Thanks for holding on so long. Maria?
Yes,
you're on the air, baby.
Hi, this is my first time calling.
Wow, look at you.
And my first time listening.
Wow, what a break for us all.
Yes.
So far.
I'd like to talk about Obama.
All right.
And Bill Ayers.
All right.
And you're a supporter of Obama, right?
I am not. I said if he wins and becomes president, then I'll support him as president.
Oh,
but I'm not
I see.
A big fan.
Yes.
All right. Now, when you talk about Bill Ayers, you're talking about the domestic terrorist that he
What that is.
I'm not sure that's going to be a big issue. Maybe Bill Whittle can talk on it.
Okay.
Who is Bill Ayers?
Bill Ayers is a former member of he still is, the Weather Underground. Back in the 60s, at the end of the 60s, when the Vietnam War was getting very, very hot, there was a group of student radicals who formed the Student for Democratic Society, and they split off of sort of a super radical group called the Weather Underground, and Bill Ayers was the leader of that group.
And he blew up, what, the Capitol?
He tried to. His goal was to set a bunch of bombs in federal buildings at police meetings and stuff like that, and a couple bombs went off. No one was killed, but two or three of his close associates were killed when the bomb they were making exploded.
Is that right?
So people died.
People did die.
But his goal was to bomb various federal installations in order to get people to do what he wanted to do.
And by any definition,
that is a terrorist.
All right, now he's a professor
now
in
he's
Chicago.
A distinguished professor of English, I think, in Chicago, yes.
All right, how'd that happen?
I don't know, but it's a
and
sign.
And didn't he start Obama's campaign in 1995?
Yeah, the one thing you need to understand about Bill Ayers is that Bill Ayers should be in jail, and Bill Ayers would be in jail, except that the prosecutors in the case made some kind of technical error or something, and he got out. And Bill Ayers likes to run around and say, guilty as hell and free as a bird. Ain't this a great country?
Oh, boy.
So he knows what he is, and he knows what he's done, and he is what he is.
Mm.
Now, the problem with Obama, with Bill Ayers, is this. No one is suggesting that Obama supported Bill Ayers' terrorist activities, right? No one's suggesting that Obama was a terrorist. No one's suggesting Obama was planting bombs. Obama, as he says many times, was 8 years old when Bill Ayers was doing this. But my problem is this. There's simply no way that Barack Obama could not know who that man is. He's an institution in liberal politics in Chicago, and Bill Ayers hosted the fundraiser that started Barack Obama's career.
So you're not
going to go down to a guy's house and have a fundraiser at his house and not know who the hell the guy is. I mean, it just boggles. Yeah, there's just no way. That's not an option. So here's the problem, and here's the question I would ask you. If somebody had the ability to make your life happen, okay, if somebody could wave a wand and make everything you wanted come true, and Bill Ayers had the political power to do that by starting Obama's career,
right,
but you knew there was something reprehensible about the guy, would you take the deal?
That's what happened with this job and Jack Silver.
Well, there you go. So there's no denying that Obama knew who he was and what he did.
But I don't think it's going to be much of an issue. I think it's too late in the campaign to bring this up. I really don't.
Oh, really?
I think Obama's going to be next president. Hey, Maria, we got something for you here, baby.
Just a minute.
All right, hold on one sec. You hold on, too. How about a pair of tickets to the World Magic Awards at the Barker Hangar? Look at that. The World Magic Awards. I don't know what that is, but it sounds like a cool evening out in Santa Monica this Saturday. And I think, Gina, you going to that? The World Magic Awards?
Yeah, I already got my tickets.
Is that right?
Yeah, and I have a ball gown and everything.
Cool. Let's talk to Jeremy and Irvine. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hey, Timmy. How you doing?
Hey, good. We got Bill Whittle with us.
Hey, Mr. Whittle, I wanted to ask you a question, but first, can we hear more European woman imitations from Gina Grad in the future?
I don't know. I don't know how. I think we're going to get our ass busted or our balls kicked for that.
I would love to hear it.
Thank you.
Mr. Whittle, you sound like a very intelligent man, and you're really radically challenging my viewpoints.
Uh-oh.
Which I like.
Me too.
I'm not too political as of yet, but I'm trying to get into it. I wanted to go back to what you were talking about Prop 8. I've had many arguments with my dad about this, and I never understood his viewpoint because he's Christian and is sort of religious, but I think you opened my eyes to it. And I wanted to ask you, if it passed and gay marriage became illegal again, do you foresee any problems or ramifications to that, in the future? Like, hasn't a large community settled since then? Wouldn't they feel...
I think you're right. And what Jeremy, I think, is also saying... How old are you, Jeremy?
20.
20 years old. Is if you had these people like Ellen DeGeneres... the guy from Star Trek, who's
George
that?
George Takei. I'm George Takei.
Yes. If you have these people who are already married and you take away their marriage license, let's say something about us all.
Let's remember, though, wasn't the fact that the California gay marriage was legalized by a judge making a ruling, right? He overturned a law. He decided it was unconstitutional. I have a serious – look, let me just put the gay marriage thing aside for a second here, okay? And I'll deal with it in a minute.
And by the way, Gina Grad says gay weddings are awesome. Is that right? You went to one?
They're fabulous.
I'm sure they are. Look, a judge does not have the right. This is not – forget the gay marriage thing. This is a major problem in this country. The judges – we have three branches of government. We have the executive branch, the presidency. We have the legislative branch that writes the laws. And we have the judicial branch that determines the laws. And the great conservative complaint is that judges now have decided as an individual, as one person, that they don't like the way the laws are being applied. So they're going to change them. They have no right to do that. Their job is to interpret the laws according to the Constitution. Now – if the people want to change the laws, if the people of California decide that gay marriage is something that we should have, then the people of California can go and vote in an election.
That's what
and
we're doing.
Elect people to change the laws. That's how it's supposed to work. A judge does not have the power to enforce upon our society.
So it's working backwards here in California.
My understanding, and I'm not perfect about this, but my understanding is that this window of legality was caused by a judge making an arbitrary ruling. He has no business making that ruling. If the people of California want gay marriage and they have every right to decide that they do, then they have to send legislators to Sacramento and change the laws, right? Mm. So,
hey, let me ask you, Gina, a question here. You went to a gay wedding. How long ago?
Well, I've been to several. The latest was over the summer.
All right. If a Proposition 8 passes, do you expect them to return your wedding gift?
Oh, see, that'd be a nice little loophole. Not that I have any use for a gravy boat or a decanter right now, but I might someday.
All right.
It's a terrible issue. It's a real tough thing. Yeah.
Not for me. I said let them knock themselves out. Who cares? All right, let's talk to Logan in Burbank. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I had a question. Do you think with 8 years of Bush in office, no one really expects McCain and Palin to win, so that's why they were kind of thrown to the wolves? They expected a Democrat to take office?
I think you're exactly right, young man. How old are you?
I am 26.
You're very intelligent for being 26. I think that's what's happening. I also think McCain wants to go back to Arizona or just continue being a senator. I don't think he wants it. He doesn't have that passion for it like this Obama.
John,
he doesn't have the drive. Yeah.
He certainly has a sense of civility that is not going to win any elections. Look, I used to believe that people needed to be more civil in a presidential election, that things needed to be nicer, right? I've come to the belief now that the job of president of the United States is such a terrible job. It's such a tough, hard thing to do, and the pressures you face daily are so severe that I'm actually coming to believe now that the election should be blood sport, that this should be a brutal experience.
Get them used to it, yeah.
Not just to get them used to it, to find out if you can handle it, right? To see if you can take it.
Exactly.
You're going to run into a lot worse things once you're president than you do on the road.
All right, let's talk Paula and Carson. We don't have time for your call. We're going to give you a pair of tickets to see Brian Regan live in concert at the Long Beach Terrace Theater this Sunday. And you can find tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Bill Whittle, thank you for coming on. You're a major stud.
You promised me I could go out on a joke. I can do it in 15 seconds.
Real quick.
Okay, this man walks, just so you know, I'm not a knuckle-dragging Nazi. Man walks into a doctor's office, right? And he sits down on the examination table, and the doctor comes up to him and he says, Jim, listen, buddy, I'm sorry. You're really going to have to stop masturbating. And Jim looks up at him and he goes, well, what makes you say that, doctor? And the doctor says, well, because I need to examine you.
All right, that's very good. All right, thanks, Bill Whittle. Eject.com. Also, Silent America. Go buy the book. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk and joined by the two studs that will take you in well into the evening here. John and Jeff from the John and Jeff Show. Nice to see you, fellas.
Jimmy. What's up, Tim?
Yeah, look at you two studs. So what's going on with that big show tonight?
Tonight we're going to talk about guys who cheat and the reason why, but more importantly, Tim.
Yes, sir.
The guys are saying that the woman they cheated with wasn't as good-looking as their wife.
Is that right?
In other words, the other woman wasn't better-looking. Now, what's the point in cheating if you're going to be with a woman who looks like your wife or worse?
Yeah, it's like having your car working properly and going out and renting a car that's not as cool as yours.
Yeah, if you're going to go down, you want to go down in flames, flaming hot with a super hottie.
That is really odd.
Yeah.
Wow, look at that. The second one's a pig. Jesus Christ. I tell you, guys are amazing. I was listening to Likas, I believe, and he said that there's a stat that one out of every two guys cheat or something like that.
Is
that a one out of every 2.7 guys? Jesus, man. But I think that the cheating stats with women are going through the roof as well.
Women are better cheaters because we assume they're more faithful than guys.
Right.
Think about that. Usually a guy says, well, my wife is at home. Well, there's the internet. I mean, come on.
Right. Plus, also, if you're a woman and you cheated on your guy and he finds out, it's usually like a long, long discussion, maybe a heated discussion. But if you're a guy and you cheated on your wife, she's going to flip the F out. Guys don't really flip out like chicks.
Well, guys want to know why sometimes. But,
yeah,
you know,
they want to know why.
But some guys, Tim, they put that into their ace, and they'll basically use it only if they get caught cheating themselves.
That's true, right.
So it's kind of like that is your free pass, stuff it in your wallet, and if and when you get caught, then you pull the card and say, well, you cheated on me.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
And because guys are more capable of doing that than women. Yeah. You know, like taking some news and treating it as a business decision rather than an emotional one.
Yeah. Would you take back a cheater if your wife cheated on you? Would you
take her back?
Yeah. Or would you just say, see ya?
Well, if it happens again, I might not. I don't know. All right, John and Jeff are coming up next here. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show tomorrow. We have somebody from that very popular show, Dexter, coming in, and Carrie Kasem. And we'll be live right after Tom Likas at 8 p.m. on 97.1 FM Talk. What they got to do is these people have got to. There's going to be a major accident if they don't fix that. that 710 405 or the 405 and the 5 interchange, man.
Bad as like I told you, and I feel the same way you do, man. Sometimes the good thing is I'm bald, I shave my head. If not, I'd be ripping my hair out every night.
Jesus Christ. I mean, that small freeway you guys have to deal with at 710 every day is ridiculous.
Yeah. Hey, Sam, quick favor, man.
Yeah, what do you got?
October 15th, you guys going to be at Knott's, right?
Yes, sir.
That's going to be my birthday.
Is that right?
You guys got any tickets?
You got kids?
Of course I do.
How many kids you got?
I'm a Mexican.
How many kids you got?
I got two.
All right. We'll give you a four-pack.
You got it,
You can take your wife, your kid, and your bald ass down to Not Scary Farm.